God for what God is doing. I really, really am excited every time. I look forward to this time of really fellowshipping together in the presence of the Lord. I'm always very inspired because of the faithfulness, the commitment of the people on this line and this 24/7 prayer altar that has been built over the nation. So I really thank God for you all, and we continue to pray for you all, and we believe the destiny of willing women and the destiny of ASLP, and what God is doing with the remnant of his people in this hour is about to come forth. So to God be all the glory for the hunger he's put in all your hearts. Amen. Tonight, I just believe that God is doing something very unique in this season. You all remember we've been talking about this transition at time that we are in. As God is shifting and transitioning the nation, the same way God is shifting and preparing the body of Christ to enter into a season of leadership in this hour. So, you know, God is preparing the world. God is preparing the body of Christ. And I believe that every one of you, your destiny is about to be highlighted as we see what God is about to do. But to also help us and to position us, God raises up teachers. God raises up prophetic teachers, people with understanding of the times, people with kingdom understanding of really the foundation of the church and the principles that govern the kingdom of God. God is reviving that understanding in this hour. And God has brought alignment of different vessels that God is preparing in these last days. So as I was praying about how we move into 2017, I felt that there will be some other national leaders that God will be bringing on this line that have kingdom revelation, understanding of the times and seasons. In future, we'll be even bringing people that are really into the prophetic mantle and stuff to come and speak into our lives and teach. But so before we get to 2017, I was just praying, and the way God used this brother at our national prayer training, those of you who were there, we become so connected, and I really, really, really hear such a wonderful place God is calling him in the body of Christ and the things God is showing him and giving to him. So today, I really want to step back and allow the Spirit of God to bless us tonight as we begin the process of what we're going to be doing in 2017, bringing serious mantles on this line to empower us. So today we're starting with, if you all remember, our precious brother Abraham John. He taught us some kingdom things at the prayer training at the Indian brother. So on fire for God. So today he will be teaching and sharing some things that will bless us, just like God has been doing on this line. So please receive him. Abraham John, we are so glad you're going to be coming on this line from time to time, especially after you come back from India in 2017. So just be open, share with us what how you want to teach us tonight and any prophetic insight God gives to you for this season. We have ESLP and Willing Women and other people on this line that are so, so faithful to God's call in the place of prayer. So welcome, let's welcome Abraham John with us tonight. God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Obi, and all the leaders online faithfully praying for the nations and this nation. And I know God has been doing a wonderful thing, and I'm so excited to share what he put in my heart tonight. It's going to change our life, and it's going to take us to the next level. I already sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God here. So thank you so much for inviting me and giving me this opportunity to share one of the most important subjects in the whole Bible, which is the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Okay, wonderful. So I want to start with Psalms 10, verse 16. The Bible says, the Lord is King forever and ever. Our Lord, our God that we worship, He is a King. And He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And He's a King forever and ever. And every king wants to extend their kingdom, expand their kingdom to new territories, to new land. And some of you are from Africa. I'm from India. I grew up there. It was ruled by a kingdom called the British. The Britain came to India many years ago. And it took over all of India and ruled for more than 100 years. Because that is the heart of a king. They always want to expand and grow their kingdom. And you and I are kings in His kingdom. The Bible says God has made us kings and priests. You are a king and a priest at the same time. And God has put a desire in your heart to expand, to grow, to build something, to establish something, to design something, because you are created in the image and likeness of our God, King Himself. So you also want to grow. You also want to expand your ministry, your calling, your gifting that God has put in your life. You have the desire to take it to the next level, and you want to expand it. You want to grow it. That is God's design for you. And by this election last month, something happened in this nation. God has pushed a reset button, and God has given us another opportunity in the spirit. He canceled the judgment, that the things that He was planning to bring upon this nation, because of the prayers of the saints, because of the tears. And I know Wailing Woman has been praying. We were in New York this year in June, praying for New York and this nation. God has repented of what He was going to do, and He pushed the reset button, and He gave us another opportunity to rebuild what the devil has destroyed. And the word that God gave me for 2017 is 2017 is going to be an year of fulfillment in Jesus Christ's holy name. The things that you've been waiting for, the things that you thought it couldn't happen, the Lord will make it happen and bring it to fulfillment in 2017 in Jesus Christ's holy name. Because 2017 is going to be the year of fulfillment and rebuilding. You know, the president and the political system can build the walls and the border walls, and he's been saying that. But he cannot build the spiritual walls of families, of education, and economy of this nation. That has to be built by the church, the body of Christ. God has put us on this earth to have dominion. In Genesis 1:26, God said, let us create man in our image and in our likeness, and let them have dominion. And God put that man in the Garden of Eden, which was the kingdom of God on this earth. Our King, our Lord, extended His kingdom to this earth in Genesis 1, and He created man and put him in that garden, put him in that kingdom, and said, you protect it, you till it, and manage it for me, and expand that kingdom on this earth. That is our divine assignment. That is our kingdom mandate, to see the will and the kingdom of God established on this earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus was asked to teach the disciples to pray, He didn't say, let the church be established on every street of this nation or any nation. He said, Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come on this earth. Let your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Each one of us, each one of the members of the body of Christ is assigned and anointed by God to make one area of this life on this earth as it is in heaven. life. And that's why when Jesus came, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, the Bible says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I'm going to take you a little deeper, but I want to give a little bit of the introduction of this verse here. This is the first preaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he began his public ministry, he waited until he was 30 years old. See, God has a timing. Sometimes his preparation is longer than the actual assignment. Many of you have been wondering, Lord, how long is this preparation is going to be? How long, and when are you going to use me? When are you going to release me? And some of you will be released by God in 2017 into your divine destiny. I prophesy that over you right now in Jesus' name. And God is going to give you new keys and authority over different spheres of life and different aspects of this nation. God will give you a mantle, a new mantle of authority to lock and unlock heaven. Oh, my Lord, my Jesus. So Jesus began to preach, repent. I know there are many people who preach repentance or have been preaching repentance for the last 2,000 years, but they don't preach the whole message that Jesus preached. Jesus did not just preach repentance. I want you to get this very clearly in your spirit tonight. My Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, he just didn't come to preach repentance, but he wants people to repent because his kingdom is at hand. That is the reason he wants people to repent. But we misunderstood for a long time. We have been interpreting that verse, okay, repent so you go to heaven when you die. Repent so you can be a good member of a church. Repent so you can be a good man or a woman. That is not the message my Lord, our God, preached. He said, repent because of only one reason, because my kingdom, which you lost when Adam fell because of sin, I am bringing that back to you. It is very close. At hand means it is near. It is right here. It is about to manifest on this earth one more time. And I will give you those verses in a few minutes. So I hope you are hearing what the Spirit of God is saying. We need to preach repentance, but we need to preach the complete message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Since the fall of Adam, since the fall of man from the kingdom of God, from the Garden of Eden, every man and a woman is seeking a kingdom, seeking something they lost in their spirit man. They knew something is missing. I know believers who have been spirit-filled for 50 years, 60 years, they're still longing for more. I began to wonder, what are they longing for? They have the Holy Spirit. They have Jesus in their heart. In the Bible, in Hebrews, we read about the Old Testament saints. They were longing for a country. In Hebrews chapter 12, let me get that verse for you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16, the Bible says, but now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And verse 15, actually, we have to read it in context of that. The scripture, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15 through 17 says, and truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. saints were desiring a heavenly country. What is heavenly country? Which is called the kingdom of heaven. They were longing for the country they lost. Every human being on this earth is longing for a better country. In our part of the world, in India, and sometimes in Africa, people think if they come to Europe or the United States, then all their problems will be solved. They can make enough money, they can have a good life. And the people here in the developed countries, like in America and Europe, they are not happy either. They are looking for a vacation spot. They are looking for a resort somewhere in Hawaii or Florida or some other place, Alaska or somewhere. They want to be somewhere else. Because this is the search of man. Man's spirit for the kingdom of God. Every man is longing for a better country and for a better government. And that search will be fulfilled only when a person discovers God's kingdom and when they discover the government of God. When Jesus was born, we are going to celebrate the birth of Jesus in a few days. In Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, the Bible says, "And to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. Government shall be upon his shoulders." The first thing that talks about Jesus is government shall be upon his shoulders. That's what he's been longing for. And when Jesus was on this earth, he didn't talk much about himself. I know he talked about, "I am the way, I am the bread of life, and oh, I came from the Father." But he talked more about his kingdom more than he taught about himself. I began to wonder about that. Why it is so? Why didn't he talk about himself as God? "I am God." He never said that. "I am God." Like, you know, we know he's God. He is the Creator. He is Lord. But every moment he got in his life, during his ministry time, he began to teach and preach about his kingdom. That was the most important subject. You and I came to the United States. If you are not born here, we didn't come here because we loved the President of the United States. We came here not because we loved Bill Clinton or President Bush or President Obama. No, we came because of what this country provided for us, or promised to provide for us, or we heard about it. That's the exact thing Jesus did through his teaching. In Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, Jesus said, "Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the things that you've been longing for, working for, will be added unto you." That's the promise. Because he knows everybody's seeking for a better country, for a better kingdom. And he said, "Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness." He's telling us, I am sorry to say this, but this is true. He didn't say in the New Testament, "Seek me first." He said, "Seek his kingdom first." Because that's what we lost. That's what we have been longing for. And unless a believer in Christ Jesus discovers God's kingdom, he will never feel fulfilled or satisfied in the spirit man. We have this longing all the time. But when you discover his kingdom, you will sense a feeling that you are home in your spirit. You feel you will be home. But we have been interpreting it as, okay, we have to go to heaven, or we have to have a revival, or we have to have another conference. But when you discover his kingdom, you will feel that you arrived home. Your spirit man will not seek anything else anymore. You feel home. You will discover your purpose. You have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you will begin to reveal his kingdom purpose through your life. And in Matthew chapter 10, and Luke chapter 10. So the first scripture to keep in mind is Matthew chapter 4 verse 17. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I know people keep repenting, but they never discover God's kingdom. After repentance, we had to teach them about his kingdom. Because without a kingdom, we cannot exist on this earth. Either we need the kingdom of God, or people depend on the kingdom of darkness. There are two kingdoms operating on this earth at the same time. Kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. The kingdom of darkness. And man and woman is designed by God to live in a kingdom. Not in a democratic government, not in a socialist government, not in a communist government. Man was designed and is designed to live in a kingdom. And that's what Jesus brought that kingdom back to us. Again, when Jesus sent his disciples to preach, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, he said, as you go, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and tell them the kingdom of God is here. Again, Jesus is telling the reason you should go and heal, manifest the healing power of Jesus, is to tell the people his kingdom has arrived. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. He says, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Again, as I said earlier, we have so many who preach repentance but never add the kingdom to it. Also, we have so many who goes around and manifest the healing power of Jesus, but they never mention the kingdom of God after that. That's why we are in a mess in the nations of the world. We are missing the kingdom message, the kingdom mandate that God has been trying to do on this earth for 6,000 years, which is to establish his kingdom on this earth as it is in heaven. And I wish I had time to take you through the book of Acts, how the early church established God's will on this earth as it is in heaven. I will do that someday. And I'm also writing a book on that subject now, Book of Acts in a Kingdom Perspective. So chapter 10 of Matthew, when Jesus sent his disciples to do ministry, to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and tell them the kingdom of God is at hand. From now onwards, as we minister the miraculous power of Jesus Christ, we have to introduce the people to the kingdom of God. When his kingdom invades, there's no sickness. Death cannot remain. Leprosy cannot remain. Curses cannot remain. Because in his kingdom, there's no curses. There's no sickness. There's no death. And I pray that, the kingdom of God invade our family right now as we pray and preach and minister the word of God and minister to the Lord tonight. Let the kingdom of God invade you now in Jesus Christ's holy name. Let the kingdom abundance, let the kingdom dominion, let the kingdom government of God invade your homes right now in Jesus Christ's holy name. Let the revelation of the kingdom of God. See, as long as you preach and teach about everything else, the devil won't mind. But the moment violate. Instead of occupying, instead of having dominion over this earth, the vast resources that our Father, my brothers and sisters, our Heavenly Father has created this earth and His resources and gave it to us. And we gave to the devil. And we don't ever say anything about it. We just let Him have His way and use all those resources and money and wealth to do His wicked plan on this earth. How long are we going to let Him do it? I have a question to the church around the world. How long are we going to let the enemy, the devil, the thief, use the resources and develop our Heavenly Father created for us? How long are we going to let Him use that? And we sit here and cry because we don't have enough to do the will and the purpose God has created us to do. God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. He wants you to be a blessing to the nations of the world. And He wants to release that kingdom economy, the kingdom wealth, the kingdom riches to you. That's why He gave us the keys of His kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. And Jesus had only one subject. I feel the presence of God here. I want to read one more scripture. Very key scripture. I hope you turn with me to Mark chapter 9, verse 1. This is a very key scripture for tonight. This will change our perception. This will change our understanding. This will change on how we look at life, how we look at the kingdom of God, the church. So in Mark chapter 9, verse 1, our Lord Jesus Christ, our King, has said, and He said, I say to you that some standing here who till the kingdom of God present with power, present or come with power. In Luke it says, there are many who stand here who will not taste till the kingdom of God comes with power. How can people who were alive 2,000 years ago, if the kingdom of God that Jesus is mentioning is about His second coming or His millennial reign on this earth, how can those people be still alive? That's not what He was saying. He was saying about the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended to this earth, the kingdom of God began to operate on this earth once again. The kingdom of God has arrived with the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And from that day onwards, we never hear or read in the book of Acts or in the epistles, we never hear Paul or any apostles preaching the kingdom at hand message. They never preach that again, saying, oh, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. No, the kingdom of heaven is already came on the day of Pentecost. That's what Jesus is saying here in Mark chapter 9 verse 1. There are some who standing here will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present or come with power. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for giving us His kingdom. I just want to thank Him. I just want you to thank Him in your heart. Even you can speak it on the phone right now. Father, thank you for giving us your kingdom. Thank you for restoring His kingdom back to us. In Luke chapter 16, I want to read another scripture for you. Luke chapter 16, verse 16. The Bible says, Luke chapter 16, verse 16, it says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, the day of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. Everyone is trying to get into it. Everyone is trying to take it by force, by violence, take it by force. Everyone is trying to get into it. Now, you preach the religious gospel now, nobody wants to come. Nobody wants to listen. They mock and they do all kinds of stuff. But if you preach the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom, Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, when the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, when is the end time is going to come? I know we all have been waiting for the end time, or we say we live in the end times. You know what happened with the year 2000, Y2K happened. Everybody thought this was the end of the world, including the church. And every generation thought they were the last generation since the time of Paul, my brothers and sisters. Every generation thought Jesus was going to come back, that generation. But he hasn't come back. What if there is 100 more years before the rapture comes? So Jesus said to the disciples, how do you know the end time, the end has come? Jesus gave us one assignment. He said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a witness to all the nations. Then the end will come. Oh, my Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit is saying to us, he is waiting on us. He is waiting on the church. Who decides when the end comes? Not Jesus, not even the Father. The Father only knows when Jesus is going to come. But the end, the church is the one who decides when the end comes. When the church preach the gospel of the kingdom of God in all the nations, then the end will come. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we have to get busy, because we have been preaching so many different gospels, Pentecostal gospels, Baptist gospels, Catholic gospels. Every denomination has their own gospel, but Jesus has one gospel, the gospel of the kingdom of God. Because nations are perishing. There's only one hope for those nations, is the gospel of the kingdom. I receive at least one request from somewhere, maybe from Pakistan, maybe from India, or some countries in Africa, almost every day on Facebook and other media, asking for help. We are Christians, but we don't have any food. We are Christians, but my family is starving. In one side of the world, people are dying without food. And this side of the world, people are dying because of food. Can you believe that? In the eastern side of the world, people die because of hunger. They don't have enough to eat. But in the western part of the world, people die because of food and food-related diseases and sickness that food brings into their lives. What is the solution? The kingdom of God, kingdom agriculture. We have to implement, we have to keep the church to administer God's kingdom into the community, in every city, in every town, in every village of the earth. Because we are the light of this world. Light means it's a solution to darkness. Light is the solution for darkness. So anywhere there is the power and the works of darkness is prevailing, the light, church, you and I, are the solution to those problems. And we have not been effective in training people, coming up with solutions to solve the problems our society is facing. That's called the kingdom evangelism. Egypt had a problem, a big problem, famine, no food. Oh, my Lord, are you ready for this? In Psalms 105, the Bible says, God of heaven, oh my God, I hope you listen to this. God brought a famine to Egypt. Oh, my Lord, oh, my Lord, oh, my Lord. God brought famine to Egypt. That's what the Bible says in Psalm 105. Let me read that for you. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes we blame the devil for the problems, but sometimes problems are an opportunity for God's people, and problems are a divine setup for a kingdom-minded people to step in with a solution in those nations in Jesus' name. And every nation is ripe for the harvest. Any nation you travel today, in America, in Africa, in Asia, in South America, they're ripe for the harvest. How do you win nations to Christ? By solving problems of all. And you have. Here's a prophetic word for the church all over the world tonight. Psalm 105, verse 16. The word of the Lord says, Psalm 105, verse 16. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. Who's he? God Almighty, our King. The Bible says he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. Oh my God, my God. This is God's word, people of God. He says he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. For what purpose? To promote a man of God. To bring a person that has been called into the forefront of that nation, to the palace of that nation, to the presence of the king. The problems, that the challenges that you faced in your life, actually it was a divine setup, an opportunity for God to bring his divine revelations. Thank you, Jesus, for your anointing tonight over our life and over this word. He called for a famine. Our God called for a famine. Do you know there are places on this earth there's famine right now? Right now, there are countries that I know who are facing famine. Those famine, somebody called me the other day. I have a friend in Malawi. I'm going there next year. He said there's no rain. And this is the planting season. This is the season to plant seeds for the harvest for the next season. But the rain hasn't come. So he said there's a river by his farmland, but he need a pump, a water pump, to pump the water from the river into his farm. And he doesn't have the money to buy that farm. And I encourage that brother, brother, I want to help to buy a pump for you. It costs around $1,200 to pump and all the other stuff, which is a little more than, but just the pump itself costs $1,200. And I am believing God for that $1,200. Will you please believe with me tonight that God will bring that $1,200 to send to this brother, Joel, that's his name, in Malawi. I have never been to that country, but I'm going there next year because I want to help him to implement kingdom agriculture in Malawi. Christians are dying there because there's no food. So here we read in Psalm 105 verse 16, moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread, and he sent Joseph to Egypt. And God used Joseph to solve it. As I said, we may not, I believe we can solve national problems, but let us start with solving problems in village level. That's what I'm doing right now. I know where I'm going, but I'm starting with a village, not just in Africa, in India, and many other parts of the world. Let's start with solving problems in our own little villages back home or somewhere else where the need is. kingdom does, when a kingdom invades a land, it implements the kingdom systems into that nation. We speak English in India because the British language was English. The kingdom that ruled us. We began to wear pants and shirts. It came from Britain, from London. The king never came to India, but his ambassadors who came to India representing the king. You and I are called the ambassadors of Christ, our king. You and I have been sent to the nations of the world with the message of reconciliation. God, through Christ, has reconciled heaven and earth. Everything in heaven and everything in earth has been reconciled and brought peace. Now the garden of God, the kingdom of God, the Eden of God can manifest on this earth once again, because heaven and earth has been reconciled. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So God used Joseph to solve the problem Egypt had. One man solving a national problem. But Joseph began by solving individual problems. And the problem of Potiphar's house, you remember? Pharaoh's assistant, Potiphar, that's where Joseph was brought. So before he brought, oh my Lord, oh my God, before he brought to manage the whole economy of Egypt, Joseph was entrusted to manage the economy and the wealth of a household of Potiphar. Before God used him to solve national problems, Joseph solved individual problems in the prison. You remember those two guys who were with him in the prison? The baker and the wine man, you know, who gave the wine to the king. And they had a problem. They had a dream. And they couldn't come up with the interpretation. And Joseph solved their individual problems. Joseph managed the household wealth and money before God promoted him to manage the entire economy of Egypt. And towards the end of the famine, because the famine was so severe, people began to sell their land for food in Egypt because they want to leave. What is the benefit of having land? So they sold their land to Joseph and Pharaoh for grain. And Joseph became the most wealthiest person in the whole land of Egypt. That is called the kingdom evangelism. Kingdom evangelism is solving nations, religions, communities, societies' problems. And when you solve a problem, people want to listen to your message. Thank you, Jesus. So that's the message, that's the word I have for you tonight. That it is time for us to come back to the original message Jesus and the apostles preached, which is the kingdom of God. I have so much to preach and share, but I will read one more verse before I close here. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. The book of Acts begins and ends with the kingdom message. Jesus was resurrected, and he was with the disciples for 40 days. And I was wondering, you know, the disciples could have asked Jesus so many questions. How was hell? How was death? You know, there's a chance that you get to talk to a man who was died, who was resurrected. But Jesus was with them for 40 days. Acts chapter 1 verse 3, it says, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus. has a kingdom, but we don't know what to do with it. We have been taught by the religious spirit saying, we are here, we don't belong here, we are going to fly away. That is good, we are going to fly away. But as long as you and I are alive on this earth, we are to preach the kingdom of God, the greatest message that anybody could preach, and the people who have been hungry, when you preach the kingdom of God, everyone will press into it. But if you preach religion, people will hate it. Because every man and a woman is longing for the kingdom of God. Let's preach repentance, but let's add the message of the kingdom to it. Because that's what Jesus did. Let's preach healing. Let's do miracles, but let's add the kingdom message to it. Because without the kingdom, there's no point in doing anything. We miss the whole purpose of, oh, the Holy Spirit is giving me one more verse. Luke chapter 4, verse, the last verse of Luke chapter 4. Jesus is saying the purpose that he came. Luke chapter 4, verse 43. And he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, because of this purpose I have been sent. Wow! The purpose of Jesus being sent. He says, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. This is the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ about his purpose coming to this earth to preach the kingdom of God to every town and every village. And I hope you are listening to the cry and the heart of God about his kingdom. He wants to see his kingdom come. As I said in the beginning, God has given us a new opportunity, a new beginning in this nation and also on this earth, in America, to restore what the enemy has been trying to destroy, to restore the glory of his church in this nation.
Amen.
The next few years that God has given us, let us get busy preaching the kingdom. When you preach the kingdom, it solves the problems of people. Whatever problems they have, sickness, demon possession, hunger, national problems. Joseph solved a national problem because he had a kingdom mindset. Philip was sent to reach a man of Ethiopia, a man of great influence, who was in charge of the economy of the queen. And he went and evangelized the whole nation. That is kingdom evangelism.
Amen.
Cornelius was an army leader. He was called the first Gentile who reached with the gospel. That is kingdom evangelism. God is releasing a new anointing for kingdom evangelism upon his church right now in Jesus' name. And it is coming upon you right now, those who are listening to me tonight. Kingdom evangelism. Anointing for kingdom evangelism. And I know I thought about kingdom agriculture before in the conferences. I need to teach about kingdom economy, how kingdom economy works. I have a free gift for you. It's a small book called The Kingdom Mandate. If anyone wants it, you can go to our website, www.kingdommandate.net. You send me an email, and only you have to pay the shipping. It's a free gift from the ministry to you. I will send that book free of cost, but you have to pay the shipping. $3.99 is the shipping, but the book is free.
Amen.
To take you a little more deeper into the subject of the kingdom message that God has given us to preach. So I pray that the Holy Spirit will open our hearts and our eyes to the message of the kingdom, and we'll preach it till we die. I made a commitment. I'm going to preach the kingdom of God till I die, till the last breath that God gives me on this earth.
Amen.
Because I'm so convinced.
Yeah. John, go ahead.
I'm so convinced that that's the only hope for the world.
Amen. Amen.
So I pray that, Lord, I pray for your presence, your anointing upon your people tonight. I thank you for this opportunity to preach the gospel of the kingdom. I thank you for your grace and your anointing that I release upon your people. Father, a kingdom mandate for kingdom evangelism, kingdom economy to come upon them, for kingdom provision, Father, and culture, kingdom culture to come. And I give you all the glory and praise. Thank you for this prayer line. I bless everyone who is listening, who has listened to your word. Let there be a breakthrough. Let 2017 be a year of fulfillment and a glorious ending of 2016. And I give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus Christ's holy name I pray. And everyone said,
amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. Hallelujah. What a revelation. Thank you so much, Brother John. We thank God for what God is doing in your life. We thank God for this refreshing that God is using you to bring to position the body of Christ towards a kingdom mindset. Amen. I like what you said about we have a king and a kingdom, and we has a royal family. That's a wonderful thing.
Family,
so
yes.
Thank you so much. We'll be sharing more in this direction on really how to apply these kingdom principles in our personal life, in our families, in our personal needs. You know, some of us have needs. How do we allow this kingdom to influence and bring transformation so that what we receive we can be able to impact others?